The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Well, my next guest is celebrating as she represents Ireland at the Miss Planet International 2025 pageant. Enniscorthy's Selene Kim was recently crowned Miss Planet Ireland 2025, and she joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to tell us more. You're very welcome, Selene, and congratulations.
Hi, thank you very much.
Now, tell us all about this Miss Planet International. I can't say I'd heard of it before. When I did a bit of research, it's actually quite interesting what they're doing.
I would presume so. Yeah, I think Miss Planet International is very, very new. It's founded in 2019.
Okay.
And the headquarters is over in Cambodia, but they have a catchment area which is based in London and in the US.
Okay.
So, Miss Planet International mission is to promote the sustainability development goals and reach the fulfillment of the United Nations.
In sustainability. And you're from Cambodia, so did you know about this?
Yes, see, I'm from Cambodia. I didn't know until when I saw the advertising, and it said, you know, hosted country Cambodia, and then I just said, I might give this a try.
Yeah. You might get to go back to Cambodia.
I might get to go home.
And are you going to get to go home now that you're the Miss you're the Ireland representative?
Yes, now I will get to go home.
Okay, so nice another trip home. So that'll be great, won't it?
Yeah, thank you.
So tell us, why did you decide to enter? Why did this pageant in particular pique your interest?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I always have an interest in like a beauty pageant, right? But with this particular Miss Planet International, it's because it's offered a unique platform for me to amplify my passion for education. So as a teacher and a community leader, I believe that I can inspire others and raise the awareness about the importance of the accessible education for all.
Okay, great stuff. And you head up the Cambodia community organization here in Ireland, is that right?
Yes. So, yeah, I'm a bit of everything.
So what do you do there? Are there many Cambodian people living in Ireland?
Yeah, so in total, we have 60 adults and then about 100 children.
Oh,
so the majority of us are just kind of like parents Irish, the spouse Irish, and the children Irish. So the young kids there would be, half Irish.
Yes, of course. So there's not many Cambodians living in Ireland then?
No, very, very little. Of us been here in the last 25 years now.
So it must have been quite hard to move over here, was it?
Yes, I would presume so. It's such a long distance because it's, from the other side of the world.
And what brought you over here in 2022? You moved to Wexford, didn't you? But were you in other parts of Ireland before that?
No. So 2022, I just moved to Enniscorthy.
Okay.
And I just started life here because I'm here with my family.
Very good. And how do you find it?
I find it really, really interesting, really, really good, really, really pleasant. I find people in Enniscorthy are very, very pleasant. I have a very, very good friend, that she's always kind of make sure that I'm okay, and she's always been there for me since day one.
Oh, lovely. And what about the weather? How does the weather compare to Cambodia?
It's very cold.
Was that a bit of a shock to your senses when you got here?
Yeah, definitely. The first time when I arrived to Ireland, the Dublin airport door was open, and I just thought, wait, did I just walk myself into a fridge?
And it just continued like that for the past 3 years for you,
For the past 3 years, yes.
So it must be nice to go home to Cambodia and to the heat there.
Oh, yeah, it would be nice. Yeah. Because over there, it's totally quite the opposite compared to here. It's like we're 42 degrees. Over in Cambodia, and it was constantly hot all the time.
Wow. So you came over here to teach, did you?
Yes. So, at the moment I am a teacher with the WWETB. So I base in Enniscorthy and also in Wexford Town.
Okay, good stuff. And what are you teaching there?
It's just ESOL. I teach to all the immigrations that come into the country. Yeah.
Right. And that is your passion, like you were saying. You're very passionate about education
that's
for
my
all.
Passion. Okay. That's my passion because before I moved here, I was also a teacher back in my country.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for 8 years, and then the rest of the years that I spent here then.
Okay, good stuff. And tell me, when you entered the competition, did you tell your family that you were going to enter it? Like, how did people react?
I did not tell anyone because I was afraid if I didn't win.
And was it a tough competition to go through?
Yeah, it was, because it's kind of like it requires a lot of knowledge to understand the United Nations program. And it's not just you don't just focus on the beauty, but of course you obviously have to look your part as well. But the main thing, those questions would be the whole thing about the sustainability and
Okay, and so you were finally crowned Miss Ireland. So when is the actual final then in Cambodia?
So the actual final, this is the world competition, which will take place in Cambodia on the 15th of November.
Okay, so and quite it's a bit going away. To be, okay.
Yes, so I still have about like 8 months to train myself up.
What are you going to train yourself up in?
Yeah, so since I applied for Miss Planet, this has went on since last October.
Okay.
So the training was a lot to do with, as I mentioned there early on, the study with the United Nations, the whole beauty pageant, you need to be able to kind of walk on the heels,
Okay.
And then the self-care as well. You're looking after yourself, the beauty and the health that all come in.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been quite a journey. And even though I win the crown there, but I'm still, on a mission to complete all this training.
Okay.
And hopefully, we're coming back to Ireland with some good news.
Yeah, which would be great. And you say that you have been interested in pageants in the past.
Yes.
So did you take part in pageants in the past?
Oh, no. So this is actually my first time joining the pageant.
Okay.
In the past, I have experience in kind of attending the competition, like a traditional dancing for my country.
Okay.
So I won like twice in a row for the first year and the second year.
Very good.
And then in Ireland, and I also... have some experience in acting. I have been doing some work, commercial work, and some acting role with RTE, like on some TV series called Clean Sweep.
Oh, very
and
good.
I do some commercial advertising for Folger Ireland that represent for Waterford and Wexford.
Brilliant
this
stuff.
Is back in 2022. Yeah.
Ah, okay, good stuff. And now you're onwards to Miss Planet International representing Ireland. Like you said, that's on November the 15th, and it really is a pageant with a difference, like you were saying, because it's all about promoting those United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So you kind of need to read yourself up on those, do you, and really
yes,
understand
of
them?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Well, best of luck with that. And as you
thank
said,
you
you've
much.
Got a good few months to get ready for your return to your home country of Cambodia. What good luck that the pageant is being held in Cambodia.
Oh yeah, it was just such a blessing. It's just the fact as well that I would the advantage I would have to this is that I'm able to enter the country without visa, number one, and I know the language, and it would be they would be host in the city for the final result, and the activities for 2 weeks would be in the biggest temple in the world, the Angkor Wat.
Wow. And of course, people can check this all out online if they want to have a look at what the Miss Planet International pageant is. Yeah, they've lots of social media. They have Miss Planet International pageant on social media, but you can also check out Miss Planet Ireland as well, and you'll see Céline there. Céline, thank you so much for talking to me, and congratulations.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks.
Brilliant. Representing Ireland, but of course, representing Enniscorthy as well when you head to the Miss Planet International pageant in November, and best of luck with it.
Of course. Thank you very much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Are flying towards the St. Patrick's Day weekend, and Kilkenny is one of six locations outside Dublin which has been identified by Folger Ireland to position Ireland as the only place to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Waterford is in there too. But this week, let's concentrate on Kilkenny and talk to Marion Flannery, who's the Festival Director of St. Patrick's Festival in Kilkenny and Tradfest Kilkenny, which is running at around the same time in the city. No better woman, Marion.
Good morning, Orla. How are you?
Good, thank you. Why not do one festival when you can do two, Marion?
Sure, look, anybody can do one festival at a time. You know, we love a challenge up here in Kilkenny, but needless to say, Orla, it's not all me. We have a great team of people working across both festivals, and they are both on the same weekend from the 14th. 17th, yeah, so it's fairly hectic at the moment, but we're getting there. Yeah.
And tell us about this Fall to Ireland decision to say that, you know, Kilkenny and Waterford, along with four other places, are the reason why you need to come to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day weekend, or for St. Patrick's weekend.
A number of years ago, as part of Fáilte's strategy in terms of, you know, attracting visitor numbers from overseas to Ireland, and I suppose looking at why the compelling reasons for people to come from abroad to Ireland, St. Patrick's weekend was one of those weekends where they felt there was a huge opportunity to grow festivals around the country on that weekend. And thankfully, we were, like Waterford, one of six that were identified as having the potential to do that growth with them. And we've been really fortunate, Orla. We've been in a fantastic position with Fáilte Ireland to receive support, not just financial support, so marketing support and support from their, you know, their own staff here and overseas to help us to grow the festival, increase the programme, make it more attractive to, you know, new audiences, and to find a way of getting people here. And I suppose a great example of that this year here in Kilkenny is on the Sunday the 16th, we have five marching bands in the city. So we're really thrilled about that. They're all coming from the US and they are going to do performances in Kilkenny City on the 16th.
Okay, good stuff. And then obviously the traditional parade on the Monday.
We have the traditional parade on St. Patrick's Day starting at 1:30.
Lovely.
Already, I think we've about 1,500 people registered to be in the parade. We have we're going to have some amazing floats, some amazing spectacles. And it's very much, I know, I'm sure similarly to Waterford, very much a community parade here in Kilkenny. A great opportunity for local community groups, businesses, organisations to come out and to, you know, entertain the people. We have about 20,000 people on the streets in Kilkenny during the parade times. And, you know, they love a bit of entertainment. They love a bit of fun and a bit of colour. And we're certainly going to have lots of that on St. Patrick's Day.
And as you said, Tradfest Kilkenny running along the same time. So how does that work? Just music in and out of pubs and venues around Kilkenny City?
Yes, Orla, a huge amount of music, not just in venues, but also in fabulous public spaces and also in amazing places like St. Canice's Cathedral. I'm sure you've heard of this fantastic new installation of the Museum of the Moon.
We only spoke about it last week here on the grill.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah,
just
we've
fabulous.
Got two we have two fantastic events which run, I suppose, hand in hand under the two festivals. We've Sharon Shannon in
Lovely.
Concert Under the Moon on the Friday, and then we have a Lunar Banquet with Pauly Scallon and the Half Room on the Sunday, and guests there will be treated to a beautiful three-course dinner, wine and amazing entertainment in the most incredible
gorgeous.
Space that is St. Canice's Cathedral.
And that is the Museum of the Moon is what that's being called as well. It's
that's
gorgeous.
The museum, and it's an international, it's travelling around the world, and it's going to be just incredible. Yeah, really
Lovely.
Looking forward to that.
So fab. Yeah. So that's all over St. Patrick's Day weekend in Kilkenny, the St. Patrick's Festival and Tradfest Kilkenny. And that's why Fáilte Ireland says that Kilkenny is one of the reasons why you should be in Ireland to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Now, Marion, you are in charge. Am I right in saying this? You're responsible for four of the 10 festivals that Kilkenny City is famous for. Does that mean you never get a real holiday, do you?
Oh, I'm a good woman to holiday, Orla, once there isn't a festival happening, I can assure you. I'm looking forward to one after St. Patrick's Festival.
Oh, brilliant.
Festival. Yeah, no, I'm in a very lucky position, Orla, I guess. I've been self-employed since 1999. I was involved in helping a lot of businesses over my time. I worked for the Leader Company, the Rural Development Organization, for 10 years down in South Kerry, where I lived with my husband for a period of time. And I suppose I returned to Kilkenny 22 years ago. And I suppose that I was asked to get involved in St. Patrick's Day Parade at that time, or shortly after we arrived. And then I saw that the contract was up for Savour Kilkenny and I applied for that. So
you're doing that ever
really,
since. Yeah.
I've been really busy with festivals.
And then
great.
What's the third, the fourth festival that you do then?
Well, we have the Yule Fest, which runs for Christmas. It's on the last weekend in November and the four weekends over December. And I suppose two of those four festivals are what we call municipal festivals, where it's the local authority that, you know, contract out somebody like myself to come in, work with them, to organise them, to programme, to market and to develop them. And I was fortunate enough to win that tender again. So, but I'm only one person of a team, and, you know, without all the great people around us and, you know, everybody that helps us in terms of sponsorship and partnerships and, you know, people who get involved with us, it's very much a collective effort.
Of course.
And, you know, a similar kind of right across the board, particularly to something like Savour Kilkenny. You have a voluntary board of directors who, you know, I suppose saw the need and the potential and have driven it on for 16 years. Wow. So, yeah, it's my pleasure really to be working with all of these organisations.
And you've timed it out well, Marion, because you've got kind of Savour Kilkenny around October time, is it? That's when it's
usually the October bank holiday again. So essentially my year is pretty busy with festivals. I do take a break during the summer.
Good woman.
And soak up some of the Irish sun. but it's a great space to be in. And, you know, I suppose Kilkenny is very fortunate in that, you know, we've learned from the best. I think it's 52 years since Kilkenny Arts Festival began. And I think that showed us all, you know, the value of the economic and social value of festivals to a city and a county like Kilkenny. And out of that, so many festivals have grown. And you've hardly a weekend of the year here in Kilkenny when there isn't something on.
Yeah, of course.
And we're quickly becoming the city of festivals, I think.
Which is great. And as we said, 10 festivals in Kilkenny City during the year, and you are responsible for four. And you're from Kilkenny. You grew up in a family hotel, is that right? So you're well used to all this organisation.
Well, I suppose we were put to work from a very young age, Orla. When my mother ran a small family-run hotel here on John Street in Kilkenny. And, you know, I suppose like all other family businesses, there was eight of us. I was the youngest of eight, and everybody had to work in the business and give a hand. So none of us were shy about working hard. And I suppose a hotel business in particular gives you a great flavour of all sorts of aspects of life and dealing with people and being innovative and, you know, being responsible and watching the balance sheets and, you know, running a good business and appreciating your customers. So it was certainly a great place to, you know, cut your teeth. And
what was that called, Marion, if people from Kilkenny might remember it?
People will remember it from a very long time ago. It was, my parents came to Kilkenny in actually 1947.
Oh, wow.
It was called the Carmel Hotel. Before
Carmel
that,
Hotel.
It had been the Globe Hotel.
Okay.
And then my parents bought it in true Catholic style on the day of the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Oh, okay. So they called it the Carmel Hotel.
Good
my brother
stuff.
Then took it over and changed it to Flannery's and very much became a very, very popular music venue. And people like Jimmy McCarthy, Honor Heffernan, and Louis Stewart all were here in the 80s and in the early 90s playing music in the Carmel or in Flannery's. So it was, I suppose, a long tradition. And then it became, I suppose, the family sold it and it's now the site. Our back garden is where the River Court Hotel is.
Ah,
so
very good. Okay.
Yeah,
I know
lots
where you're
of happy
talking
memories
about.
From there.
Oh,
yeah.
Great stuff. Well, listen, Marion, you're such a busy woman, but it sounds like you just love what you do. And you are the festival director of the St. Patrick's Festival in Kilkenny City and Tradfest Kilkenny, which is running at the same time. All of that is on social media if you want to do a search for the festival in Kilkenny and Tradfest Kilkenny. And you know the date, of course. It's all like kicking off on the Friday, is it, of the St. Patrick's weekend?
It's kicking off on the Friday and the stuff running right through to obviously Patrick's Day is when we'll all collapse in a heap at about 10 o'clock on the night of the 17th. But yeah, look, it's action-packed, Orla, as you say, lots for everybody. you know, the stpatricksfestival.com has all the details. Loads of family entertainment, loads of family fun, fireworks, fire shows, kids shows, drumming, jugglers, face painters. So, you know, we encourage everybody to sort of have a look there and see and start planning their weekend in Kilkenny.
Brilliant.
And then obviously the people with a love of music will find it. It'll be surrounding them for the weekend.
Fabulous, Marianne. Well, I hope you have all those airline websites open up and ready to book yourself a sun holiday after the St. Patrick's weekend. Best of luck with everything. Thanks
a
million
for
talking
Orla.
To me.
Thank you. Have a great day. Mind
the Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It is Beat 102-103. You're listening to the Sunday Grill with me, Orla Rapple. And good news if you're part of a community group, because Lidl have announced the launch of a €100,000 green fund that supports community groups nationwide. It's all about tackling key environmental challenges. It includes climate, biodiversity, circular economy and sustainable living. Elaine O'Connor is the head of sustainability at Lidl Ireland and Northern Ireland. And she's going to break it all down for us. You're very welcome, Elaine.
Good morning, Orla, and hello to all your listeners.
Good to talk to you. Now, you're based in our lovely county of County Wexford, but you are, as we said, the head of sustainability at Lidl in Ireland and Northern Ireland. So I'm going to have to ask you the most important question. Is it Lidl or is it Lidl?
It's Lidl. Okay. If you can believe that. Lidl.
Were you told that on your first day in work?
I was told you have to say Lidl from now on.
Lidl.
You can no longer say Lidl.
Okay. All right. And everyone says it, do they, in HQ, in Lidl HQ?
Yeah, it just trips off the tongue now at this stage for us all. So
I don't think I'd be able to do it. I think it's Lidl till I die for me, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Now, Elaine.
And for you and everyone else.
And everyone else, yes. Especially in the southeast of Ireland, I'm sure. Where does Lidl originate from? Is it a German company?
It's a German company. So,
I'm sure they're Lidl over there.
From there.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
So sustainability, that of course is your job, but it's a very tough one, isn't it? It's almost hard to grab people's attention when it comes to sustainability and climate change. It can be quite confusing, can't it?
Yeah, it can be very, very technical, definitely, from different terms like net zero to climate change and, you know, trying to distill all that down and what that means. And this is where the Lidl Green Fund comes in, trying to make it really, really accessible for local communities across the southeast that, you know, might be, you know, making lots of really positive efforts within their community to try and address, you know, issues around biodiversity, perhaps. You know, maybe there's something around climate that they're trying to do, or it could be around like recycling initiatives. So this is like, a really, really nice way in for trying to tackle some of those, you know, big, meaty sustainability topics, in a really, really nice way. So
okay.
We've recently just launched this new sustainability fund called the Lidl Green Fund, and we do really want to support, you know, grassroots community groups to promote and empower these, you know, really environmental conscious, projects that they're looking at, to really champion that sustainable living, and like look at, you know, what really truly matters to local people.
Okay, so when you're saying community groups, you mean things like community groups, but also like primary and secondary schools and charities can be involved in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, ideas and sustainable action is happening, you know, in our schools, within charities and with, you know, different community groups. So, you know, we're really encouraging different groups who have, you know, really innovative ideas. They could be sitting on something and they are looking for an outlet for this idea to come to life.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to see that those types of ideas from those different groups come through the application process, which is open now until the 24th of March.
Okay.
We'll be then shortlisting the ideas that come through with a panel of expert judges.
Okay.
And then that will go to a Lidl Plus vote in May time, because we do really want to make sure the projects that, you know, have been submitted are then voted for by the local communities, and what in terms of what they really want to see happen in their local community. So it could be a pollinator zone that you're looking at putting in, or maybe you're wanting to plant some trees on a, you know, a piece of land in a local community. Mm. Maybe there's, you know, a recycling initiative that you're looking to get up off the ground. There's also an element of, you know, healthy eating and how do you, you know, promote that. Maybe there's, you know, a project that you have that you want to bring to life there. It could be swap shops, it could be repair cafes. You know, there's just so many good ideas happening in the Southeast that I'm sure would love some funding to, you know, bring their idea to the next level.
Totally. And lots of those things that you've mentioned, I have spoken to last year when I was making Ours to Protect. There's so many communities out there that are doing their best when it comes to sustainability. I've definitely spoken to people who have done upcycling and repair cafes and lots of stuff on food and fast fashion as well. So this might be their chance, as you said, to take it to the next step. Talk to me about what you were just saying there about health and well-being. That's an interesting one to include in the mix.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's something that, you know, we've seen over the past few years and, you know, different outreaches we've had with different groups, again, be that a community group or a school, and the types of supports that they're looking for. So, you know, if there is an idea that you have around trying to promote, you know, healthier eating, mm-hmm. or maybe it is a well-being initiative that you are thinking about, you know, that all does fall in under sustainability. Okay. And I know it's such a, you know, it is such a broad area, but we do want to support those different types, you know, of projects across the breadth of sustainability.
Okay, good stuff. And then how does this work? As you said, there's a judging panel. Is it a number of projects that will receive the funding, or how will that work?
So we are working with business in the community. Mm-hmm. They have been a partner of Lidl and support us with our different sustainability initiatives that we do across our wider A Better Tomorrow sustainability strategy. So they have different experts from, you know, the environmental side who are going to help us shortlist the projects. So we will shortlist the projects on a county basis, mm-hmm. and then those shortlisted community groups, you know, schools and charities will be put to public vote in Lidl stores at the beginning of May. And you will be able to use your Lidl Plus app to vote then for the projects that, you know, that you want to see happen, that really matter to you, that you feel like is going to have, you know, a really lasting impact on your local community. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, we felt that, okay, us experts can sit in a room and we can look at your applications. But again, what really matters is, you know, what do the local people want to see in terms of where that funding goes. So there's a total fund of €100,000. There is a top prize of €25,000 for the project that local communities really want to see happen. Mm-hmm. But then there will be smaller prizes allocated across each county of €3,000. So, you know, there is still you know, that opportunity for you know, some funding to happen.
Well, if people are interested, you can get more information at greenfund.abettertomorrow/lidl.ie. You can get more details there. I'm sure if people go onto the website, though, for Lidl, I'm trying, Elaine, they'll be able to find more details on it there, can they?
Yes, they will. So you can find information on the overview. You will find the application portal. You'll find a guide that you can use to help you with a little bit more information. If you're wondering, oh, how should I maybe answer that question? You know, we've tried to give you some tips and tricks within that guide that you can download on the site as well. But you can also reach out to the team directly, and our email address is on the website as well. It's csr@lidl.ie if anyone has any questions.
Brilliant stuff, Elaine. I was interested to see as well that Lidl is Ireland's most sustainable retailer. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so that is through RepTrack. So there is a RepTrack study at the beginning of each year, and it's independently done, and it's based on the public's perception of, I suppose, yeah, sustainability within different companies. They're, you know, they're asked a number of questions. So we were delighted last October to find out that we were the third most sustainable organisation in the country.
Okay.
But the number one sustainable retailer in the country. So yeah, that just you know, gives a nod to the different sustainability initiatives that you will see in a Lidl store. So again, at DRS machines, or in store recycling, perhaps it's, you know, the netted fruit and veg bag, or like your orange refill. You know, it could be something that you've read you know, in the media about your store with a solar panel, for example. So all those different, you know, initiatives that we have. And that's, yeah, how we were named the most sustainable retailer.
Brilliant. Some less plastic would be good as well, though, wouldn't it? When it comes to our fruit and veg. I know it's easier said to done when it comes to hygiene, but it's hard to see all that when you're trying to be sustainable, isn't it?
Yeah, there's hygiene, and also there's our food waste considerations as well that we have to consider as part of packaging, you know, within the business as well, because we don't want to, you know, drive food waste either. So there's a lot of different considerations that we have to take when we're looking at how we transport product. But it is as part of our Better Tomorrow sustainability strategy. We are always looking at different ways to reduce our plastic packaging across not just our fruit and veg, but across the entire range in store.
Good to hear. Well, that is part of the Green Fund is a Better Tomorrow from Lidl. And you can get more details if you check out that website, which is greenfund.abettertomorrow/lidl.ie. Up to 100K is being awarded to communities across the country in support of local projects that look at environmental challenges. So if that sounds like you, give that website a look. Elaine, thank you so much for joining me this morning. That is Elaine O'Connor, the head of sustainability at Lidl. Elaine, I'm going to say Lidl for you today, but I don't know if I can commit to it, at Lidl Ireland and Northern Ireland. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Well, we're in the midst of Seachtain na Gaeilge. That's how bad my Irish is. And everyone's getting on board with a cúpla focal, including Fáilte Ireland, with details on five untranslatable words in Irish. To tell us more, Claire Redmond, who's the Publicity and Partnerships Manager at Fáilte Ireland, joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. You're very welcome, Claire.
Thank you very much, Orla.
Tá Fáilte Rath.
Thank you very much.
How's your Irish? I feel you're a little bit like me, almost scared to say the words instead in case you say them wrong.
Oh, well, absolutely. I'm, you know, did Irish right up to my leaving cert and then unfortunately never continued to use it. So it's every Seachtain na Gaeilge I get reminded about it. And particularly this year with the work that we're doing, and we've for the Seachtain na Gaeilge week, our Keep Discovering campaign has gone Os Gaeilge.
And how's that going for you?
Yeah, like it's going really well. I've learned five new words that I never knew before.
And we're
going
to talk about them in a minute now. I've never heard of these either. One of them I've heard of, actually. It's lovely to see how popular Irish is becoming as a language again, isn't it? Thanks to TikTokers and influencers on Instagram, and especially thanks to the Kneecap Boys.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And like when Colleen Kuhn was up for an Oscar there a couple of years ago, it's just, it's fantastic. And I suppose it reminds you of the beauty of our language. And, you know, I mean, we're renowned storytellers, you know, and we're very famous for sharing our history and our culture. And, you know, as much as the music and the dance is important in that, the language is crucial. And it's just so, you know, evocative and emotional. And even doing the work looking into these words that we have as part of our Keep Discovering campaign, it really, if it gives you a renewed kind of pride in the language, and just when you realize the beauty that's there, you know, you'll be straight onto Duolingo and starting to study Irish again.
Of course, yeah. Have you seen a kind of an upsurge in Fáilte Ireland of tourism that's kind of helped because of things like on Colleen Kuhn and movies that did so well last year in the Oscars, and the music and the TikTokers, as I said?
Yeah, so I heard a term for the first time the other day, which was set jetting, which refers to people going to places where TV and film have been made. I mean, we had huge interest a couple of years ago with the Banshees of Inisherin, when that was out, and then the likes of Bad Sisters, you know, the second series of Wednesday was filmed here.
Yeah.
There's huge interest in coming to Ireland and seeing where these TV shows and films have been made. And with the Irish language, you know, we know that both domestic and international tourists, they want to experience the language when they're here.
Wow,
you know, you don't go to France and not expect to come back with a little bit of French.
Yeah, true.
You know, so people want to pick up the language, and it's definitely a bonus to tourism.
And what a great kind of almost challenge for you at Fáilte Ireland. Like, I've seen Sharon Horgan talk about the 40 foot so much because people want to know what is that. It's great to see that you can promote places like that then.
Absolutely. And like the 40 foot plays in really well to like the words that we've chosen to go with as part of the campaign. You know, Sketamini is probably the word that most people remember from their Leaving Cert. It's that kind of feeling of rapturous excitement, you know. So you could be, you know, diving into the 40 foot with your friends, or you could be surfing in Achill, that kind of giddiness and, you know, the group chat and everything like that that goes with it. You know, and then also, you know, you have, when you get away for a short break and you want a bit of peace and a bit of tranquility and you want to disconnect, you have that wonderful feeling of soothness.
Yes, that's a lovely word. And in fact, you have asked an Irish speaker in Fáilte, Ireland, to record some of these words. Will we see how she says soothness, see if we have it right?
Soothness.
Go on, that's it.
Soothness.
Yeah. Soothness. So we are correct. So, Claire, you got that one. And isn't it lovely? We talked a few years ago about real Scandinavian words, like, I can't even remember what the word was. Was it higgy or something like that? That was about chilling out. We have those words in the Irish language as well. And soothness is a real example of it. Peace or tranquility. When you look at the sea and you take the last bite of that perfect meal, that's when you're feeling that lovely peace and tranquility. That is soothness. Well, I'll give you another one and you can explain it to us. Let's have a listen to this one.
Rogara. Rogara.
Rogara.
Rogara. So I think we've all had a bit of, we've all been a bit of a rogara in our times. So this is kind of goes back to that late night wandering that, you know, our ancestors would have done. Now, in this day and age, I'm thinking of people late night wandering around the likes of Dublin, Galway, Limerick,
trying to find
Kilkenny on a city break.
Yes, maybe trying to find a bit of soothness, but in a more upbeat way.
Absolutely. Just getting out and experiencing the kind of excitement of the Irish
the
nightlife.
The Sketamini.
Exactly.
All right, and let's try this one as well. This is one I had never heard before. Let's try this one. And it
is Bochram.
Tell us about that.
Bochram. So this is, it's kind of boisterous, lively kind of behaviour. You know that kind of messing?
Yes.
So, you know, when you get this kind of infectious energy from people who are around you. So, you know, having the laugh, having the crack, you know, you could be, you know, having great fun, having great chats with your friends. You could be paddleboarding on Loch Derg and splashing each other.
And
it's that kind of, just that real kind of fun, infectious energy that you get from people.
And I think that's what our tourism is all about as well. You know, it's not just about the places for a lot of people who come and visit Ireland. It's for our people as well. And that Bochram, or the crack, as we like to call it.
Oh, absolutely. The people are so important. And when people visit Ireland, they feel a real connection to Irish people. We know this when international visitors come. And also as well, when Irish people go for a short break around Ireland, you meet the local characters, you connect with them. You know, it's really, really, really part. It's ingrained in us. You know, that we love to meet new people and we love to connect with the characters and get the stories.
Yeah, so that is Bochram, boisterous behaviour, bit of crack, you know. And then this final one, I think I know this one, I've heard it before.
Glunder.
So this is one, actually, do you know what, it's funny, a lot of people said to me they knew glunder. I didn't know glunder, but it's that joyfulness and that delight. So, you know, it could be going off and spending time with your family, maybe going out in, you know, Loughborough Discovery Park and spending time with the kids and them having fun and, you know, creating and making these memories and this, kind of real happiness that you feel when you're on a short break and you're in a gorgeous destination. You know, you kind of, your heart is full and you feel very uplifted.
You have the glunder. Lovely.
You have the glunder.
Have you a favourite word from those five that you've chosen from Fáilte Ireland?
Well, my own personal favourite is suaveness.
Suaveness.
And I think maybe that's because it's calling to me.
You need a bit of peace and tranquility in your life, do you, Claire?
I think I need to get into a seaweed barrel down a Bantry or something like that.
Oh, lovely. There's some lovely ones here in the southeast as well. So I'm sure you can tip your hat towards them. It's really lovely. You say as well that as Irish people, you know, when we go away, we kind of, and even in Ireland, we use our Irish a bit more. But I remember when I did my J1 in the States, I worked for Greenpeace. I used to have to knock on doors, and I was a great one for incorporating the Irish language into that. But it's lovely to have that, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I even myself, I remember being on a trip to New York a few years ago and somebody saying, go on and speak a few words of Irish. And the first thing that popped into my head was, I'm a Cadogam Dulgadee on Everest.
I think we've all had a bit of that.
I was very honest in what it meant.
Yeah. But it's the romance of it, isn't it? And people use it more even if they're away from their hometown and they're on a staycation, for example. You say at Fáilte Ireland, people are more, are proven to kind of say, to use the language a little bit more when they're out of their comfort zones.
Well, absolutely. So you go away and, you know, you're there for a short amount of time. You're surrounded by new things and new experiences. So you're more inclined to try something new. And this is what we're saying now is for people, reconnect with the Irish language, throw in the cupola focal now and try it. You know, it's so exciting. Like the, as you mentioned before, the Irish language is back in the spotlight and, you know, get out there, use the language, experience new things and throw in the cupola focal as part of that.
Because they are gorgeous cupola focal as well. Where can people get details on these five words that you're using? Where can they check them out again?
They can check them out on discoverireland.ie.
Good stuff. Thank you so much for talking to me this morning, Claire. That is Claire Redmond. She's the Manager of Publicity and Partnerships at Fáilte Ireland, and she is full of the suaveness, whereas I'm full of the sketchamini. Thank you so much, Claire.
Thanks for having me, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's Beat 102-103 on this Sunday morning. Let's talk movies and Tom Hanks. Actually, before we talk movies, Brian is not here. He is abroad once again. He has gone on the strangest. No, actually, it's not even strange. It's just very Brian. Brian, take it away. Quite ironically that I say take it away, because this is all about takeaways, isn't it?
Oh, woo-hoo. Yes, yes. Nice little pun there.
Thank you.
Basically, look, I set myself the challenge last week, as everyone probably cares as much as I do. The Irish National Takeaway Awards happened. And I, like, so for some people, it's a case of, oh, yeah, that's a cool thing. I saw an article. For me, it was refreshing the Instagram every 5 minutes to see if any more winners were announced.
Okay.
It's like, it was a big week for me in terms of awards. They had the Oscars and the Takeaway Awards last week.
Okay. And you love a takeaway. Is it a chipper of choice or what is it? Any type of takeaway you like? Or I know you're a big kebab fan.
I love the ideas of takeaway. I love how kind of like it's just that little treat, but I treat myself a lot.
Okay.
But basically, I said to myself, wherever wins best takeaway, I'll go there the next chance I can.
Right.
And to my absolute look and delight, wasn't it in Donegal?
Oh.
Of course, the farthest place it could have possibly been.
Okay.
And Wednesday, I tracked up, I stopped at the Hill of Tara, got a little history in. Had no Brian sandwich. Brian had no Brian sandwich where Brian Brew was made High King.
Oh, excellent.
Brian Brew actually started the O'Brien name as well, which was kind of a full circle moment.
Okay.
And then from there, I went on to Ballyshannon in Donegal and I got
the home of the iconic Rory Gallagher. I'm sure there's lots of statues to him up there, was there?
There is a statue.
I'll
be honest, I never heard of Rory Gallagher.
That's okay, yeah.
But I was listening to his music and again.
He's no comment on that. Okay. So this is AJ's takeaway in Ballyshannon that won. It also won the top spot for best fish and chips and onion ring of the year. And I am a big fan of the onion ring. What did you order at AJ's in Ballyshannon?
I got scampies and chips and I also got a portion of onion rings.
And how were they?
Orla, I'm not going to lie to you. They were very, very good.
Oh.
Very good.
Okay. And why did you go for the scampi?
because it sounds fancy, doesn't it?
It does sound fancy. True. So that was all good, yeah?
It was very good. Like, I bit into the onion rings and I was like, do you know what I mean? How good can an onion ring be? This was very good. I bit into it and I was like, oh, damn, that's like properly tasty. Like, damn. that's a properly really good onion ring, yeah.
Okay, so AJ's in Ballyshannon in quite a jaunt away from the southeast. Did any southeast takeaways win?
They did, yeah. There was La Vida Loca won Best Burrito.
Lovely. That's in Waterford, yeah.
Cockfellas in Wexford won Best Spice Bag, I think, and I can't think of the other ones now. You put me under pressure, Orla.
Sorry about that,
Brian. From my movies.
I know. And yet you're not here to do that because you went on the hunt for the best onion ring. So let's do this. Will we talk about it here on Amazon Prime?
Yes.
So this stars and reunites Tom Hanks and Robin Wright, who we know from Forrest Gump. In fact, the director of Forrest Gump also made this movie here, which was released about 8 months ago to cinema, but didn't do very well. And it seems to have quietly gone to Amazon Prime. It's about multiple families and a special place where they live. And it travels through generations. Listen, it was so hard to get a clip of this movie. I watched so many things that would try and make sense. So let's have a listen. And Brian will tell us what he thought about here.
Wanted to be here.
Right here.
The milk's here.
Take a seat right here.
I'm going to miss being here.
I'm here.
I'm glad you're here.
This was our home. We lived here.
Hey, Dad. I'd like you to meet Margaret.
Nice to meet you, Margaret.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Young.
Time sure does fly, doesn't it?
Sure does.
I could spend the rest of my life here.
So there you go. I cannot tell you how much time I spent looking for those clips because the trailer
it doesn't
was...
really give anything away, to be fair.
Well, apart from the sense that they are here. I even watched a featurette with Tom Hanks and he really emphasised the word here and the fact that we are here. So I'm presuming it's all set in this one house, is it?
It's even more than that, Orla. Okay. And it's honestly one of the most interesting things I've ever seen in a film.
Oh.
It's one static camera for the entire movie.
Oh.
Like,
so it's like a play.
It's kind of like a play, but it's set across generations, and it's like the CGI is so interesting because like it will just pick little squares, and you probably saw it in the trailer, but there's like little squares that will do different times at different time zones.
Okay.
You know, and it's such an interesting way of looking at making a movie, because the whole thing is like the camera moves around. It's like, not this, the camera stays static for, and it covers like Native American and like the Thomas Edison's illegitimate son, and that, like all the way up to like modern day. And it's like this story of how, like, look, this is just one shot of one room in one house in one area, and this is all the stuff that happened in this one place. And there's so much, and there's people who there's been love, there's been loss, there's been funerals, there's been weddings, they've been like, it's so interesting way of looking at it, like, you know.
Okay.
And it's new to Prime, and like it's been a poor week for movie releases, I think, because the Oscars So I put this on and I was like, why is there dinosaurs at the start of it? And it took me a moment to realize that the whole, like, it's literally just
one area,
the history of this one spot it's kind of mad to think, like, it gets you in a spin then, because like, it's like, think of where, like, we are, like, you know, it's like everything that happened, everyone that went through where we were in that moment. Like I went up when I was up in the Hill of Tara, kind of inspired that trek really as well. That, like, when I was up there, like, St. Patrick was up there and like Yeats and all these fellas were up there, like, you know.
Okay.
It's like, Jesus, now I'm part of it. Like, all these high kings and everything were there. Not the band now, the
I know. Thank you.
But no, but it's just an interesting way of kind of like,
no, and I'm really, it's quite interesting to hear you talk about it like this, because everything I read about it spoke about the fact that It was a critical and commercial failure. It grossed less than 16 million and took about 50 million to make it. And it's been called things like a failed stylistic exercise. But it sounds like you took something from it.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm a big fan of just like the history of where you are. Like I've realized that I stumbled across the fact that I think I actually like history, which never really happened in school. But I think in my elderly years now, it's starting to happen. But it's just nice to like see things and places and be like, stuff happened here, do you know?
Yeah, so true.
And it's like, it mightn't be the biggest thing. It mightn't have affected the world, but something like inspired a thought that might have. Do you know what I mean? It's such an interesting way of looking at
it. Totally life. Is.
And it's like, it's Robert Zemeckis as the director, and like he did Back to the Future. So
yeah,
if any man knows about going back to the future and then coming back to the present again, it's that guy.
Yeah, so true. And lots of jumps and lots of time, not time travel, but jumps through decades and years in Forrest Gump as well. So he is interested in how time affects us. Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, as we said, reconnecting after Forrest Gump. Paul Bettany is in this as well. For the different like generations, do we see lots of different actors, or how does this work?
You know, it's mostly just sets of families. Okay. And it's interesting because just different things, like there's different tragedies and stuff happen, and it's like you're heartbroken for these families because it's not this, you know, when you watch a movie, it's like this external thing of how they lived their life in public. It's like, now this is what they were really like at home, you know? And so then when there's like, it's like, you don't see someone dying, let's say. It's the news being broken to the wife is what you see. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's the sad side of it. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of sad moments. It will get you to, I don't know. Orla, all these critics, as we've learned through life, there's only one person I listen to.
And I wonder who that is. I wonder if it might be you yourself, Brian, is it?
It's me. Yeah. No, but I genuinely loved it. Like, it's just kind of a look into, I don't know.
How did you feel about the static camera? Because there's lots of movies that I can think of that have been, you know, recreated from plays, and they almost feel like they're a play because they are possibly only in one or two rooms. And I find that claustrophobic in a way. How did you feel about, I presume because the room changes all the time, maybe that takes your eye away from it.
Yeah, you see, it's changing constantly. Like there's these, like I was saying, these little kind of squares that, like when they do edits, they'll like just do a section of the screen will change first, and then the rest of the screen will kind of change around it because your eye line is looking at this thing, and then like you don't really notice the rest of the screen changing. So it's a phenomenal way of kind of looking at it. And I don't know, I thought it was great. I don't know why people were saying, like, I didn't hear anything about it when it came out, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I heard nothing about it. And to think it was out in like 8 months ago in 2024, and I've heard nothing about it until you said you were seeing it on Prime. So give it a go, you're saying?
I'm saying absolutely, yeah.
All right, let's give it some black puddings.
But just simply because it tried something different, and I think it executed it really well. Maybe I'm just feeling really nice.
It's because of the onion rings.
Okay. I'm going to give it a nine.
Nine black puddings.
It's a way of looking at film that I've never seen before. And this sounds so kind of poncy a bit, doesn't it? That I've seen so many films and it's just nice to see something different. I sound like one of those critics you see on the telly.
You sound like Brian.
Yeah, I know. But no, it's just like, it's something, it's just a different way of looking at, like, the camera is almost a character, really, because it's in the room where it happened, like, you know?
Okay. Nine black puddings out of 10. It's called Here. It's on Amazon Prime. As we said, it's been getting some terrible reviews, but Brian says, give it a go. It's something completely different. And look, you can watch it from the joy that is your very own sofa. Brian, no better man. That is Brian Griffin. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.